Good evening. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom Evening News Program. Elizabeth Cupid Caverly and I, Lou Caverly, have been bringing you this cutting-edge program since 2003. Tonight's program is a very crucial special presentation. The second half of the program features a brilliant kaleidoscope of warnings and events, all having played out or currently playing out a role in America's purposeful takedown by the global elite. They surge ever closer to instituting world government. The first part of the program that I, Lou Caverly, have for you features key areas, both spiritually and politically, that will need continued scrutiny and, in many cases, repentance before God in order for America and other nations to avoid almighty judgment. Do not think that because Donald Trump promised to make America great again, he or his administration will necessarily make America good again. How can America be good when, even though much prayer, including special elders' prayers on Pastor Bob Martin's WWCR Challenge Program, helped defeat very narrowly the 2024 proposal for a change in Florida's constitution that would have made Florida the U.S. capital for unfettered, unregulated abortion? No, more trouble is still there. 50% of Floridians approve abortion. And we also have Missouri and a handful of other states went heavily for abortion rights. Then, we must ask, is the landslide victory of Trump and the Republican platform of ideals and actions in line with God's biblical commandments? No. We must conclude that the Republican convention's abdication of anti-abortion policy is a red flag for God's coming ire. As one Christian broadcaster commented, conservatives love abortion. Then, we have the issue of unusual Jesuit and Roman Catholic influence under Pope Francis, who has extolled Lucifer and much more. The second half of this program investigates the planned and Biden coup resting greatly on the influx of illegal immigrants at the southern border. Will Trump really shut off this onslaught at our borders? As Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano hopes, will this president act to make the new world order, World War III plan, and unlimited illegal immigration cease? As realists, we must recognize that the global elite largely determine who our presidents are, often alternating between a Republican and a Democrat. We note that now President Trump told EWTN during a speech, "I like the Catholic Church a lot," unquote. And some months ago, radio station WBJC in Baltimore, during the news coverage, reported that Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, a convert to Roman Catholicism, was a member of a special Vatican religious group that stood for the old conservative values of the Church. What will all this mean? What will other dangerous elite tyranny plans mean? I'm going to share items and warnings that will be ongoing threats for us to watch out for, both in America and internationally. And we do need your help to stay on the air, to keep warning you. Our most immediate need right now is for checks or money orders of any amount made out to WWCR. And you can send those to Lou Caverly at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Once again, and we thank you ahead of time if you're able to help us, the address is Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now we begin. Global government is here. UN's Pact for the Future ushers in digital ID. WHO, World Health Organization control, and the blueprint for tyranny. dated September 30th, 2024, from the People's Voice, by Baxter Dimitri. The United Nations has just quietly validated every so-called, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote, from the past year by rolling out the Pact for the Future, operating under the cover of darkness with zero coverage from mainstream media. The globalist institution has ushered in digital IDs, handed unaccountable power to the World Health Organization, and laid down a blueprint for total control. In a related article, also from the People's Voice, and by Baxter Dimitri, September 6, 2024, UN Pact for the Future pushing treaty to establish, quote, humane, unquote, five-year depopulation targets. The United Nations Pact for the Future, set to be approved at the Summit of the Future in New York on September 22nd, cites overpopulation as the most serious risk in the world today and issues a call for urgent depopulation of the globe. Then we have World War III alert. This is from Infowars.com. China readies for war as Xi dons military uniform. This is by Sean Miller, October 21st, 2024. Chinese naval forces drilled surrounding Taiwan, and Xi ordered war preparations. China also blasted the U.S. and Canada for sending warships through the Taiwan Strait following the Chinese drills. On Thursday, Chinese communist dictator Xi Jinping commanded troops to strengthen their preparedness for war while visiting his People's Liberation Army rocket force following last week's drills of surrounding the sovereign country of Taiwan. And this is Lou speaking. We also note that Russia and China have just recently signed a partnership pact. This pact is certainly not good news for the United States. Now we have EU's new vaccine card, his step toward mandatory vaccinations and restrictions on freedom. This from the People's Voice by Niamh Harris, August 29th, 2024. A pilot project for a new vaccination passport is to be launched shortly in five European countries. Now, central bank digital currency is another big item, the big elephant in the room of coming total world tyranny. All mankind must resist this complete stranglehold on any human freedom. And now we move to a very quiet yet significant warning, one equally worrisome no matter the political leadership, Biden, Trump, or whoever. This was from Natural News. Pentagon quietly makes it legal for U.S. military to use lethal force against American citizens. October 22, 2024, by Kevin Hughes. The Department of Defense, DOD, has quietly made it legal to use the United States military against American citizens by reissuing Directive 5240.01. Former President Donald Trump remarked during a recent phone interview with Fox News about using the, quote, National Guard, or, if really necessary, the military, unquote. But he was referring to using military assets in the event of overwhelming domestic unrest, and that is permitted under the Insurrection Act. When Trump was elected in 2016, protests by demented troublemakers broke out across America. And taking into account the present condition of the nation, these violent protests will possibly occur again on a massive scale if Trump is elected. And this is Lou interjecting, we know that Trump was indeed elected. And thus far, there have not been the violent protests that this author was worried about. Let's hope it stays that way. Getting back to the article, the Republican Party presidential candidate is probably suggesting that he will not tolerate violence. But Directive 5240.01 is different. This has been employed several times throughout history. Most recently, it was used by President Dwight D. Eisenhower when he deployed the military to forcibly desegregate a high school at Little Rock, Arkansas, in 1957. The New York Times reported that the Posse Comitatus Act, passed in 1878, makes it illegal to use military forces on American soil. However, the Insurrection Act overrides that other act. Undated DOD directive has weaponized the U.S. military. As reported by Zero Hedge, the reauthorization of Directive 5240.01 would permit the U.S. military to use, quote, lethal force, unquote, on the civilian population in the event of a, quote, natural security emergency, unquote. Green Med Info compared the 2016 and 2024 versions of the directive and discovered disturbing changes. The outlet reported that with America preparing for one of the most controversial and closely watched elections in history, a concerning update to DOD Directive 5240.01 has been quietly implemented. The directive, which was issued on September 27th, governs the Pentagon's intelligence activities and now includes provisions authorizing lethal force in certain circumstances when assisting civilian law enforcement. While the directive prohibits assassination, it opens the door to deadly interventions under, quote, national security, unquote, situations. The report mentioned that while the 2016 version was mainly focused on intelligence gathering and securing civil liberties for Americans, the 2024 version expanded the military's role, especially in helping civilian law enforcement. It also approves lethal force under certain conditions, quote, raising questions about its use during potential civil unrest surrounding the election, unquote. There are some guardrails in the authorization, like the requirement for the Secretary of Defense to give approval. The timing of this reauthorization raises several questions, especially with issues about election integrity, threats of civil unrest, and political manipulation emerging as the election day nears. And as I said, loose speaking, we've gotten through the election without any serious repercussions. Let's hope it stays that way. Now, we have from The People's Voice by Sean Adel-Tabatabai. Biden administration legalizes all gain-of-function research to build more deadly bioweapons. This was dated November 5th of this year. The Biden regime has now fully legalized gain-of-function research, meaning the bioweapons industry is free to start releasing more deadly diseases into the public. And then we have car bomb explosion under Daniel Carter Bridge in Cincinnati. This came from HalTurnerRadioShow.com and was dated, November 1st, 2024. U.S. under attack? Question mark. The Daniel Carter Bridge connecting Cincinnati and Kentucky is now shut down and said to have structural damage to the steel due to a car explosion and fire that took place underneath the bridge. The Daniel Carter Beard Bridge is a yellow twin-span steel bowstring arch bridge crossing the Ohio River in Cincinnati, Ohio. It carries 471, Interstate 471, between Cincinnati and Newport, Kentucky. And we'll just mention here, this is Lou again, is this the NWO sabotage plan surreptitiously continuing? The Francis Scott Key Bridge was only the beginning. And then Democrats proposed police fact-checking units to target conspiracy theorists spreading misinformation. From The People's Voice, back to Dimitri, November 4th. Democrats are calling for stronger powers for fact-checkers to combat the spread of so-called, quote, misinformation, unquote. This initiative is backed by a controversial law enforcement group known as Lexipol, L-E-X-I-P-O-L, which aims to create police-run fact-checking, that's in quotes, fact-checking units. And this is Lou speaking. Are these Lexipol units going to be like Hitler's brown shirts and then the SS in our future? We have this. Israel rolls out mandatory WEF digital IDs for Palestinians who wish to participate in society. Again, The People's Voice by Sean Edel Tabatabai, October 29th, 2024. This next odious tyranny template sounds to be like the Warsaw Ghetto of the World War II era, as if it's being reborn. This is atrocious. One day, will things be in this manner for all of us Christians? It says, Israel has announced plans to roll out mandatory WEF digital IDs for all Palestinians in Gaza who wish to continue participating in society. According to reports, Israel plans to hire a private U.S.-based logistics firm connected to the WEF to develop a, quote, gated community, unquote, in Gaza, where all Palestinians would be subject to biometric screenings in order to qualify to receive aid. Naturalnews.com reports Israel's War Cabinet discussed the proposal over the weekend with plans to approve a pilot program within the next 2 months. Global Delivery Company, GDC, a company run by Israeli-American businessman Mordechai Kahana, is currently in talks with Israel to run the biometrics screening program. Then from Slay News, by Frank Bergman, February 16, 2023, World Government Summit, shock needed to usher in world order transformation. Globalists have been gathering at the World Government Summit in Dubai to discuss advanced planning for a single global government. World leaders and powerful elites have been flocking to the event this week to pitch ideas for expanding globalism by uniting sovereign nations' governments. During a panel discussion at the summit, Professor Arturo Briss, BRAS, from the IMD World Competitiveness Center, argued that a quote-unquote shock is needed to shift global society away from the current world order. That, again, is in quotes, world order. He insisted that the, quote, transformation of the world order, unquote, cannot be gradual. Briss told attendees that elites and world leaders need to address how to use a shock so the world can go through this transformation. How is this transformation going to happen? Dr. Briss asked. He said, I totally agree that the world order, the way it is built today, doesn't make any sense. And then we have massive blackout hits Cuba after entire power grid fails. Communist government blames the U.S. And I'll interject, could this be something of one of the shocks that Dr. Briss was talking about? This is by Trent Walker, October 19th, 2024. The entire island of Cuba was plunged into darkness on Friday after the major power plant failed, the state energy minister confirmed. The blackout has affected about 10 million people in Cuba. From the Zero Hedge websites, had the headline, Armed ATF and IRS agents hit Montana gun store with Soviet-style intimidation raid. This is by Tyler Durden. And just to read a couple paragraphs, heavily armed agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, and the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, raided a gun store in Great Falls, Montana, last week, in what was described by a local lawmaker as a, quote, Soviet-style intimidation raid, unquote. Tom Van Hoos, the owner of the outfitted store, told the local media outlet that 20 heavily armed agents swarmed his gun shop on Wednesday morning, confiscated 13 years of 4,000, well, I guess that's 4473 forms, and copied the firearm acquisition and disposition book. He said the reason for the raid is unclear. He believes it could be part of a nationwide trend by Biden's ATF. And a companion headline said, Biden to deploy thousands of armed IRS officers to forcibly seize guns from Americans. And the details say the Biden administration has announced plans to begin deploying armed IRS officers to seize guns from Americans, regardless of whether their firearms were purchased legally or not. So, Chris, can you give us some commentary on that?
Oh, yeah, that's powerful stuff. People have been complaining about the ATF primarily because, in fact, I saw a speaker, a firearms expert, a guy named Brandon Herrera, was invited to speak before Congress. He was brought in by Republican lawmakers, and he was talking about the history of the ATF, which I thought was very interesting. That originally the ATF was founded as kind of part of the Internal Revenue Service, really just for keeping track of, you know, financial matters where firearms, you know, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms is concerned. That was supposedly it. They weren't supposed to be, at least according to what they were saying, an armed group of, you know, law enforcement agents with tanks and helmets and jackboots and all this kind of, that's not where they were supposed to be originally. They were just supposed to be like accountants, according to what they were saying there in Congress. And that they grew from that into this armed force. And before you knew it, you had the whole episode at Waco. That's what they mentioned. And storming this compound there at Waco. But and while they talk about David Koresh being a cult leader and that kind of thing, if you study it, the people who counter that argue that none of that was the reason they were there. The reason they were there is over a claim that they supposedly had illegal firearms at that residence. And so they brought in the ATF with tanks and all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, people have had a lot of concerns with the ATF. One of the big concerns right now is that they are creating laws, and they're not a legislative branch of our government. They're not authorized to create laws about firearms and this kind of thing. They keep claiming that Congress gave them some authority, but then you've got congressmen who are objecting to that, and they're apparently not in agreement that that's what has been agreed to. So it reminds me very much of the situation in America just prior to the American Revolution. And you were mentioning some different elements there, like with Magna Carta and Article 61, et cetera. Article 61 in Magna Carta, for those who don't know, was right of revolution. And it was said in the Great Charter in 1215 that if the king did not obey the law, that the people and the magistrates would have the right to resist the king by force and to even take up arms against him if necessary. And that was one of probably the most objected to point by the king himself. King John turned his back on Magna Carta a month after he put his seal to it. And then that led to the First Barons' War. So they had to fight for it. One of the things that we show in our film, we talk about all of this in the documentary you mentioned, The True Christian History of America.
It's a wonderful documentary. I'll just mention that. Wonderful.
Well, thank you for saying that. But part of the reason that we made it, part of the reason I was so excited about it, we spent about 5 years working on it, went to different parts of the world and did interviews and got a lot of great on-location footage, but was to show, what I wanted to show was that the laws and the principles in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence did not begin with the American revolutionaries. They're not the ones who came up with these ideas primarily. They articulated them brilliantly. However, the principles that they set down in our founding documents go all the way back to England, back to the English Reformation, back to Magna Carta, when our forefathers were shouting, "No taxation without representation," they're quoting Magna Carta. And you had, for example, when Paul Revere was asked to create the Great Seal for the state of Massachusetts, he created a seal with a colonial militiaman in it, with a sword in one hand and a copy of Magna Carta in the other. And it was like an illustration of Article 61, this right of revolution. And that was something that Sir William Blackstone wrote about in his commentaries on the laws of England. He has a whole section on right of revolution. But anyway, so this is what was behind what was going on in America. And they were using tactics, the British were. What we try to remind people in the film is that when the Redcoats came to confiscate arms in 1775, they were violating the English Bill of Rights of 1689, because the English Bill of Rights guaranteed the right of Englishmen to keep and bear arms. So that was the law of England, which extended to America. So the king kept breaking law. The king kept breaking the law. And so the American Revolution, we're often given the impression, I think, in the schools and colleges that our revolutionary ancestors were just rebels, and they said, hey, we don't want a king telling us what to do or whatever, that they were in rebellion without necessarily a cause. But the reality is that the king was consistently violating English common law, things that had been set down, Magna Carta, also the Petition of Right of 1628, which established castle doctrine. It was Sir Edward Coke who wrote the petition, and he's famous for having said, a man's home is his castle. And the Petition of Right forbade the king from violating private property, and he could not house troops in people's homes. So that's one of the things that they were doing.
I think that you said that pretty much became the foundation for our Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Third and Fourth Amendment come directly from Sir Edward Coke and the Petition of Right of 1628. And just so people know, the other thing we show in the film, of course, is that all of these things are based on biblical principles. Castle doctrine comes from Exodus chapter 22, which says that if a thief is found breaking into a man's home and the homeowner strikes the thief in such a way that he dies, the homeowner is not to be charged with the death of the thief. That's the whole reason why castle doctrine and self-defense, you know, a person's right to defend their home and their family, is all based on God's law. And sadly in England, the situation there now is very, very different. I think they're in trouble since they gave up the right to bear arms back in 1997. But here in America, those laws and those ideas came here from England and from Europe as well, because other parts of Europe believe the same thing. But it's based on God's law. It's what our ancestors believed God-given rights were based on. So we have the right to life because God says, thou shalt not kill. We have the right to own property because God says, thou shalt not steal. We have the right to expect people to speak the truth about us because God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is where rights come from. And it's what our ancestors believed about God-given rights. Now, today, what we're being told by these, what I consider to be communist lawyers and judges and so on, we're being told that somehow we have God-given rights, but without God. And how are you going to have God-given rights without God? And I think what they want, what they're doing, the way they're manipulating our courts and the laws and so on, they want a system of man-made rights where lawyers and judges can make up people's rights as they go along. But if men make up your rights, then men can take them away. And that's the very antithesis of what our... Yeah, it's the antithesis our ancestors believed.
The LGBTQ rainbow flag being flown front center above the White House with the two American flags sidelined, one on the left, one on the right. This is just as the worship of God and a respect for his laws has been sidelined in America. And are we seeing pretty much the invasion of the illegals as a sign of God's coming judgment? And who are the players? And I think that Chris will tell us something interesting right after I give these something that he told about what's really happening with the Roman Catholic Church in Texas facilitating some of this. So the first article I have here is from the People's Voice, June 17th. The Pope praises this year's outreach conference for LGBTQ Catholics. The Pope has written his third supportive letter to LGBTQQIAAP2S plus Lou and Chris, I have no idea what all that includes. Advocate, at any rate, he has written this supportive letter to the advocate of all that, Father James Martin, promising him prayers for the success of an upcoming Pride conference. Pope Francis sent his greetings to attendees at the Outreach LGBTQ Catholic Ministry Conference, due to be held at Fordham University in New York City from June 16th to 18th. In a handwritten letter to his fellow Jesuit and editor of Outreach, the Pope praised him for, quote, all his good work, and promised his, quote, prayers and good wishes to all the participants of the conference. And then we have one more article, and this was from complicitclergy.com, March 10th, the Catholic Cartel. The Catholic Church is facilitating illegal immigration on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border using our hard-earned tax dollars. The Church has received over $2 billion in federal grants since 2012, a large portion of which has gone to fund the resettlement of illegal aliens in our nation. In doing so, the Church has become an accomplice to criminal cartels involved in human trafficking, drug smuggling, and terrorist activities. Organizations like Catholic Charities have effectively become complicit in the crimes of the cartels. And so I think now, Chris, you may have a lot to say. You can say whatever you want to say.
Well, there's a whole lot to say about the situation on the southern border. I think most Americans are not really aware of how far back this goes. There was a book that was published back during the Reagan administration. The book is called American Democracy in the Vatican by Dr. Stephen Mumford. Dr. Mumford, who was not really a conspiracy theorist, he was like a population control guy. I'm not even sure if he was a Christian, but he was really writing from the perspective of population control and what the problems were here in America with illegal immigration. And he said that the reason why that nobody in Washington is ever able to come up with an effective program to put a stop to illegal immigration is because of the Vatican's involvement in American politics, and that the Vatican has agents and representatives there in Washington, and that any program that is engineered to try to stop illegal immigration or to solve the problems, the programs, he says, are initiated or appear to be to fail sooner or later, that there's no serious effort to put a stop to this. And he talks about, he documents the history of the Vatican and our CIA, our intelligence community. And he talks about Wild Bill Donovan, William Donovan, who was the founder of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, during World War II. And he was appointed by FDR, and he's seen as the founder of our modern United States intelligence unit. We're going to be going over all of this. In fact, I'm working on the editing for the section. We're producing a new documentary called American Jesuits, and it's going to show the history of the order here in our country. But William Donovan, who was a Knight of Malta, and he was reportedly a Jesuit, not necessarily a priest, but somehow a part of the order in a covert manner. The Jesuits, most to understand them, you have to understand them as an intelligence network, as a network of spies and also assassins. And that's according to people like the great CIA or famous CIA agent E. Howard Hunt, that the Jesuits form the most extensive and sophisticated intelligence network in the world. Well, if you start looking into the Jesuits and illegal immigration, you mentioned Doug Thornton from American Vindicta. Well, when he and I did the radio show, we were talking about all of this because he's got friends down at the border. You know, he's a former federal police officer, so he's seen a lot of this stuff up close. And he and I did the radio show. We talked about all of this. And then afterwards, he sent me a picture of a Catholic church down there near the border. And he said that his friends, who were police officers, are leery of going near this church because it's where all the illegals go and it's very dangerous over there. And I went and I looked the place up, and sure enough, it's a Jesuit church. And it's a church that welcomes all these illegals in, and they help facilitate them. Well, the Jesuits have a whole immigration network that they've set up, along with the Catholic bishops and so on. In fact, the Catholic bishops of America, with the Catholic bishops down in Mexico, created a document years ago called Strangers No Longer. That's what it's called, Strangers No Longer. And it's basically a statement of their intent from Mexico to America to facilitate this mass importation of millions and millions of people from Mexico into the United States. And they're using a process. One of the people that I interview for this upcoming film is Dr. Ronald Cook. Dr. Ronald Cook is an author. He's written about Rome and the Jesuits for many years, and he's with Truth International Ministries, and he's also the president of Breckville Bible College up in Max Meadows, Virginia. Anyway, so I interviewed Dr. Cook, and when I talked to him, he gives a great interview, by the way, that'll be in the new film, but he says what they are using is a process called irredentism. Irredentism, that is the word. And it is basically what the word means is immigration warfare. That's what it is. The Muslims have their own version of it, which is called Hijra, which is immigration jihad, which they were taught by Muhammad, that if they're not militarily strong enough to take over a country, then they immigrate. They have Muslims immigrate into your country and build up their population, and then when they're strong enough, they try to overthrow the government. So that's the Islamic version. But the Italian, the Roman Catholic version, is irredentism, and they do the same thing. The Pope encourages Catholics to move into different areas, one way or another, whether legally or illegally, and then they build up their population and then find a way to take control of the government, which is effectively what they're doing with illegal immigration into the United States. They're getting millions and millions of illegals across the border. And see, people don't realize Joe Biden is a Jesuit. He goes to a Jesuit church there in Washington, D.C. His inaugural prayer was done by a Jesuit priest, and then his inaugural mass was done by another Jesuit priest. Biden, his family Bible is a Jesuit Douay Rheims Bible. Joe Biden is effectively a Jesuit. So is Nancy Pelosi. So is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So is Dr. Fauci. In fact, I've been warning people about this on my radio program for years. Fauci, as soon as he emerged on the scene with COVID, and he cut off President Trump at one point, and somehow he has all of this power, and I'm wondering, why doesn't President Trump fire him? So I start looking up Fauci. I'd never heard of him before, and I'm finding interviews with him online on YouTube, and they're saying, what was it about your Jesuit education that prepared you for coronavirus? And then you have people who are showing the video clips of Fauci back in 2017 announcing, saying, I guarantee you, he said, there's going to be a surprise pandemic for this next administration, for the Trump administration. He said that in 2017. Well,
yes, and Chris, also the role of the CDC, we found that the founder of the CDC went to Marquette University, which was a Jesuit research university. And, of course, Lou, when he first saw the gates to the CDC, he says, my gosh, it's a tombstone. So this population culling. This is all part of it. And we will recall that even, I believe it was on Fox way back in the beginning of the COVID epidemic, when two young college girls flew home from Italy, and they were so conscientious that they stopped in New York and they phoned the CDC and they said, what should we do? Should we quarantine or whatever we should do? Tell us. And the CDC says, oh, just go on home. Just go on home to the South. So we can see the irrationality of a lot of these plans that come out and these directives from the CDC. This whole plan is to take away, with a coup, take away all our freedoms and rights. And I think, speaking personally, that's why I really like to watch your DVD. And, you know, we can't leave without getting into Cromwell eventually. But I think you right. have given us a lot to think about, and we certainly will want to see your next DVD, too. Lou, let's move to the next headline.
Yes, and I'll just interject one thing. I was reading a book about the death of General Patton, and Donovan played a while ago. Donovan played some sort of a part in that. It's not exactly clear, but he did not like Patton because Patton was against the communists. Patton wanted to
right.
go into Germany, hold back the communist tide, and Donovan and a lot of the other higher-ups just said no. For whatever reasons, they just wanted to let Russia, or USSR at that time, take over.
Now, the Jesuit movement has always been Marxist-linked, hasn't it, Chris?
Oh, yeah. They're the authors of the doctrine social justice. The term social justice was first coined by a Jesuit priest in 1843. And then you have historians and churchmen warning about them working with Karl Marx in the 1850s. So, in fact, they were eventually kicked out of Germany by Otto von Bismarck, partly because they were, he believed and he said in the newspapers that they were working with Karl Marx in terms of developing socialism as a political weapon. J.A. Wiley, the historian, in 1881, openly said that the Jesuits use communism as a weapon against countries they're trying to control. So there's no question they've been involved with social justice, socialism, and communism right from the beginning. That's all fully documented. And we'll be
talking about that in our upcoming show. Let's move on now to the tyranny aspect that we're beginning to see with things like the digital tracking and so forth and the social credit score.
Yes. In fact, we have a couple of UN-related headlines. The first one says, the United Nations orders banks worldwide to make digital IDs mandatory for all customers. And just a couple of short sentences here. The plan is outlined in three new policy briefs from the UN entitled, quote, a global digital compact, reforms to the international financial architecture, and the future of outer space governance, unquote. And then the companion headline says the UN issues global code of conduct for social media platforms to eradicate conservatives. The United Nations has issued a global code of conduct to American social media platforms, instructing them to ramp up their efforts in censoring conservatives ahead of the 2024 election. And the UN head, Guterres, said at a press conference, the proliferation of hate and lies in the digital space is causing grave global harm now, unquote.
And I think I'll just combine mine with yours there, Lou.
Yeah.
So then Chris can comment on this trend. We think it may be coming toward persecution of Christians. But the man who put the Soviet-style czars into American Republican government at the top, the man who was on a plane in Chantilly, Virginia, to be told that he, not Hillary Clinton, would become president, the man with his Frank Marshall Davis, perhaps filial and communist connections, this former president who with Valerie Davis is said to be running his third term, and in the Punch and Judy puppet show, this man now has spoken out, and this was, I believe this was June 17th, Obama calls for digital footprints so police can arrest people who share non-mainstream news. And so we learn that In an interview, Obama said the development of new tracking technology that could help identify users who spread fake news online and tracking those users and punishing them would help bolster mainstream news outlets on the Internet. And of course, the articles, there are two of them here, they say that this will be using Microsoft technology and that anybody using the Internet, you see, would have to submit digital fingerprints. So anything posted on the Internet to be traced by the authorities can be done by this technology. And, of course, that technology is here now, said Obama in a discussion with his former advisor, David Axelrod, on the latter CNN podcast. And then I think, Lou, you have another one about the social credit score. Let's plug that one in quickly and then two.
Yeah, new DHS documents reveal plan to assign social credit scores to Americans. Newly leaked DHS documents reveal a plan to assign social credit scores to all 331 million Americans and severely limit the freedom of non-compliant, that's in quotes, non-compliant citizens who are placed on a government blacklist. Well, Chris, take it away.
And now, before he takes it away, there's one more headline, I believe, that plugs in.
Okay.
WEF, that's the World Economic Forum, orders governments to ban the Bible and issue fact-checked version without God. So where are we going, Chris?
Well, what's happening is, this is for me, this is all Counter-Reformation stuff. This, and the purpose of the Counter-Reformation is to take the world back into the Dark Age. And one of the things that I talk about whenever I give presentations, live presentations on the history of the Bible, is that most people don't understand, most modern Christians don't understand the Inquisition. They think the Inquisition was somehow or other a Christian movement that was trying to force people to convert to Christianity. But that wasn't it at all. The Inquisition outlawed the Bible. The Inquisition outlawed the preaching of the gospel. Under the Inquisition, parents were put to death for teaching their children the Ten Commandments. The Inquisition persecuted Christians who were real Christians and had this counterfeit system that was set up. In fact, Dr. Peter Hammond at one point has said that the Inquisition is what happened really when pagans hijacked the leadership of the church in Rome. And that's what led to the Inquisition. But what's happening, in my opinion, is we're seeing that the same people who ran the Inquisition for 600 years have now repackaged themselves, and they are coming up with a new set of laws, but it all goes to the same conclusion. They want to outlaw the Bible. They want to prosecute Christians who actually believe what the Bible says. That's where the Dark Age was so called, because the Bible was outlawed. It was forbidden. It was the forbidden book. In fact, in one of my favorite paintings from the 19th century, shows an older man and his young daughter, who is like a teenager maybe, or a young woman, and he's sitting at a table, and he has a Bible, a big Bible, open in front of him, and his daughter is standing next to him, and they're both looking over their shoulder as though they're frightened, as though somebody has just knocked on the door. And the painting is called The Forbidden Book, or The Forbidden Reading, because they were reading the Bible. And they weren't supposed to be reading the Bible. It was illegal. And so it's like they're reading the Bible, and somebody knocks on the door, and they turn suddenly, and they're frightened. And we in our day have lost the memory of that history, unfortunately. It's part of what I try to put back in our documentary series, A Lamp in the Dark, The Untold History of the Bible. Because the same dark, evil, antichrist powers are at work, and they're behind globalism. They're behind the World Economic Forum. They're, you know, you've got up in Finland, this wonderful Christian lady, Päivi Räsänen, who was a doctor. She's the wife of a pastor there in Finland, and she was even part of their government. She was a member of their parliament. But they were having at her church, somebody at her church had posted online, hey, let's go to the gay pride parade and help celebrate, you know, gay pride. And this was years ago that this happened. And so what she did was she got her cell phone and she opened her Bible and she just took a picture of the scripture in her Bible that says, man shall not lie with a man as he lies with a woman. It is abomination. I'm pretty sure that was the verse. And she posted that online next to this comment about going to the gay pride parade, because her church was, people at her church were recommending this. And she said, should we celebrate that which God calls sin? Well, for this, people started complaining, and she was eventually arrested and charged with hate speech. And they've spent years trying to find a way to put her in jail, to sentence her to like 5 or 6 years in prison for having the audacity to post a verse of scripture and just ask the question, should we be celebrating this? And then they went after other writings that she had published, a book years earlier where she was talking about God's plan for a family and saying that God has ordained a husband, a wife, and children, but this is a traditional family. And, of course, in rejection of the idea of the gay or homosexual family, you know, two men or two women, and et cetera. And so for that, that was also called hate speech. And they've tried to use this to prosecute her, put her in jail. This is where I believe all of this social credit stuff is headed, with not just the so-called LGBT rights, but now where they want you to use pronouns, the pronouns for the transgenders. You have to say that a man in a dress is a woman, and a woman who's put on men's clothing is.
We may have lost Chris. But he's right on the money that we're in this trend in which the abominations to God have now been accepted. And in his wonderful film, when he shows people carrying pocket Bibles to war, and they were going to war because God's laws they were defending. Even Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider, that these pocket Bibles would be put in. But now that we have a country that has the LGBT flag flying over the White House, we don't have the people repenting. And until the people repent, they are not going to understand that all of these rights, the right to defend yourself even and your family, they come from God. They come from the Bible, because now we don't have God. And into this vacuum is coming Satan. More and more. So I think without repentance, we are not going to be able to turn any of this evil back. And it is Satan. Chris, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back with you. Well, yes, you were talking about Oliver Cromwell, and I know you want to get to Cromwell. Cromwell,
yes,
is one of my favorite figures in all of church history. In fact, we owe here in America so much to his example and his teachings, and, you know, as a Puritan. Today, many patriots, I think, would be very interested. You know, if you go over to England, there in front of the Houses of Parliament, there they have the monument to Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, and he's standing there in front of his statue, in front of the Houses of Parliament, and he's got one hand on a Bible and the other hand on a sword. And it's from the poem about him, the servant of the Lord with his Bible and his sword. And the Bible and the sword eventually became the Bible and the gun, something that many patriots look to. But they don't realize that that goes all back to the Puritans and to Cromwell. And Psalm 149, which says all the saints are to have a two-edged sword in their hand and to uphold and enforce the laws of God. And that's what the Puritans believed. They believed that Christian men had a duty to be armed so they could defend God's law upon the earth against the wicked. And that God not only authorized, not only gives Christians the right to do this, but commands them to do it. And so Cromwell and his Puritan army, that was why they eventually took up arms against King Charles I. And defeated him and had him executed as a traitor, because he was, again, violating the fundamental laws of England and the laws of God as well. So that's where, you know, the the importance of how our Constitution reads, that laws come from our Creator, or rights come from our Creator. And because they come from Him, that's why they're unalienable. And when it says, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these rights, it's then the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. That's all based on Article 61 in Magna Carta and the Puritan view of Psalm 149, which I know we're running out of time. I love Psalm 149 because it specifically says that the saints are to have a two-edged sword in their hand to execute judgments against the heathen, to bind their kings in chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This is why they believed that the people, God's people, have a right to, if necessary, take up arms against a king or, you know, a magistrate if they violate God's law. That's what they believed. That's why they wrote Article 61 all the way back in 1215 A.D. That's why Cromwell and the Puritans took up arms against Charles I. That's why they resisted King James II with the Glorious Revolution of 1688. And all of that is why our ancestors fought the American Revolution. Where we are today,
if our hearts turn back to God, we know of some families who are participating in the boycott against Target, the LGBTQ clothing for children. That's not holding a rifle, but that's a beginning. And we hope that all true Christians hearing this program, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Roman Catholic, all of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and all you need to do is talk to Him and tell Him you repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you and save you and guide you, and you turn your life over to Him. The time may come when it will be the choice that the real Crocodile Dundee had to have in Australia, and they shot him dead. The real guy was shot when they took the guns. They're coming for the guns, but will we have God? Will it be God and guns? We need to pray for repentance, for remorse in America, or we will never be saved by guns or anything else. And you've given us so much to think about, Chris. We just thank you. We'll give you the last word.
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me back on your program, and it's wonderful to be here and to be able to talk about these kind of issues, which I think we as believers in Christ should be turning toward the Lord. He says, only fear the Lord in the scripture, and He will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies. Praise God.
Wonderful words to end on tonight, and we thank you for listening.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks, Jack.
Good night.
God bless.